see you tonight. Good to be here, back again here, Sunday night at Northgate Chapel. And tonight we're going to be in the Old Testament. If you would turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, we're going to be there tonight. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 8 tonight. And the theme of this passage is, as you'll readily see when we get into it, start reading it, is that trusting the Lord, you know, that's basically what we're talking about here in this passage in Jeremiah 17. And, you know, we talk about that a lot among Christians, trusting the Lord. And we say the words, you know, they come off our lips and say, yeah, well, you know, I'm trusting the Lord. And, you know, I've said that before. And I said, I'm trusting the Lord, and I get back home, and I'm not trusting the Lord anymore. you know, here in the building, here amongst God's people, you know, I'm trusting the Lord. But sometimes, you know, when I get by myself, I think, you know, I have a lot of doubts sometimes about things going on in the world and in my own personal life. And, you know, that's the things that we face from time to time. But Jeremiah here in this passage is making a comparison and a contrast between two different people. The man who does not trust the Lord, we'll be looking at him first, and the man who does trust the Lord. So let's start reading at verse 5, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Well, if in verse 5 here, we had verse 5, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. The word arm here can be rendered strength, that maketh makes his own flesh his strength. And I think it's interesting that in the Old Testament, the word curse is used occasionally. In our culture and our time, we use the word curse in a different way, in a different context. You know, I'm going to put a curse on you. You know, we say that jokingly sometimes. In other words, I'm going to make it possible that bad things happen to you. That's what we talk about being cursed today. And but in the scriptures, in this particular passage, we're going to see that bad things do happen to people when they refuse to trust the Lord and rely on their own strength. That's hard for us to believe and accept, but it's a fact. You know, that's what the scriptures teach in this passage. Of course, there's the flip side of that coin, as we're going to see as we go along. And we're going to see how God will bless us if we just simply and sincerely trust in Him. And if we do trust the Lord, one of the outcomes, I believe, would be that our Christian experience, the life we live here in this world, will be a lot more stable for us and a lot more fruitful for God. But in verse 5, Jeremiah said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and makes flesh his arm, or makes flesh his strength. There is a couple of illustrations in the Old Testament here about what Jeremiah is talking about. And one is King Zedekiah. One illustration is King Zedekiah. Zedekiah was one of the last kings of the nation of Judah. He was king of Judah when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians invaded Israel. And he was put into a tough position, tough spot. And we're going to turn to chapter 37. Keep your place, in chapter 17. Turn to chapter 37 of Jeremiah. And verse 1. And we'll read the first 10 verses. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither, now notice verse 2, but neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehoiakim, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet of Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. And when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army which has come forth to help you shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. Well, first of all, one of the things we notice about King Zedekiah in verse 2 is that neither he nor the people of Israel, they did not listen to the words of the Lord. They did not listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah, who spoke for God. For God, for the Lord, in verse 2. And then we see in verse 5 that the Babylonians were besieging Jerusalem. They had surrounded the city. They had put it under siege. And the Egyptian army was coming to expel the Babylonians. They had heard about the Babylonians invading Israel. And in verse 7, the Lord told Zedekiah that the Egyptians were not going to be any help to him as the king of Judah. And Zedekiah was not heeding Jeremiah or the words of the Lord, but he was relying on the Egyptian army to rescue him. In other words, it's exactly what Jeremiah said in chapter 17, verse 5. He was relying on his own strength and his own power and not relying on the Lord. And we're going to see in just a minute that this reliance upon himself and not the Lord had dire consequences for King Zedekiah. Turn to chapter 39 of Jeremiah. Verse 5. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. So we see that Zedekiah tried to escape from the clutches of Nebuchadnezzar during the siege of Jerusalem. And, of course, the Babylonian army caught up with him, brought him back to King Nebuchadnezzar. And we see that Zedekiah stood before King Nebuchadnezzar. And one of the first things that Nebuchadnezzar did was bring in Zedekiah's sons and execute them right there in front of him. Then they took King Zedekiah, the Babylonians did. They put out his eyes. Now, the way they did that in these days was to take a hot iron, get it red hot, and then push it into the eye socket of the person's eye. I can't imagine that. That's, just thinking about that, that's a tough way to get to lose your sight, isn't it? But, you know, King Zedekiah had his eyes put out. His sons were executed before him. He was put in chains and taken back to Babylon as a prisoner of the Babylonian Empire. And we see that the results of this, or the results of this, is because Zedekiah depended upon himself and not the Lord. That Zedekiah was making his own arm, his flesh, his strength. And we see that during the reign of Zedekiah in chapter 37 that he refused to listen to the Lord. He refused to obey God. He didn't want to do what the Lord wants. Zedekiah thought, well, you know, I can get the Egyptians to come up here and fight against the Babylonians and they'll take care of them and I won't have any more worries after that. Well, you know, that doesn't work out. And so Zedekiah had to pay a horrible price for his disobedience and for his lack of trust in the Lord. If we go back to chapter 17, we see in verse 5 that Jeremiah said, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm," and notice the last phrase of verse 5, "and whose heart departeth from the Lord." A good illustration of that is when, you know, when we, or when in the Old Testament is that character of Lot, you recall him. We had a message on Lot previously, some months ago. But Lot was, as you recall, was Lot's herdsman and Abraham's herdsman had gotten into a conflict, and the land was just not big enough to hold their herds. And so Abraham told Lot, "Let's split apart and let you take the whatever land you want to." And Lot looked at the watered plains of Jordan, and he started heading in that direction. But you know, the only problem with that was that in the watered plains of Jordan was the twin evil cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We read that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. We read after that that Lot was in the city of Sodom itself, and he was sitting in the gate. He was one of the leaders, one of the civic leaders of that city. And we see that that Lot, after that, there was a raid on the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was kidnapped along with his family and everything that he owned. Abraham heard about it, and he sent his got up his army and went after the bandits, and they freed Lot. Abraham freed Lot. But instead of Lot heading back with Abraham to the land of Canaan, Lot stayed in Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you believe such a thing? And you may say, well, you know, that Lot was a wicked, evil man, but you know, Lot was righteous in the eyes of God. The New Testament makes this very clear. If you read it, that Lot was a righteous man by our standards. In other words, Lot was a saved man by our standards. He was righteous in God's eyes. Yet he continued to live in an evil, wicked city. Now, why? You know, we may ask ourselves, well, why would Lot do such a thing? Why would he go into this city, knowing what Sodom and Gomorrah was like, knowing what the people were like, knowing what kind of acts and wicked things that they were doing in those cities? Why would Lot put himself in a position to go to Sodom and Gomorrah? Because his heart departed from God. His heart departed from the Lord. Brothers, sisters in Christ, if our hearts depart from God, we're going to suffer the consequences of that, of departing from the Lord. Do you realize that? And maybe some of you have been there. You know, man, and you know, I have too. And when our hearts depart from God, bad things happen. Bad things happen to our lives as believers. And we're going to look at some of those consequences in just a few minutes. But in verse 6, Jeremiah says, now in verse 5, Jeremiah is talking about the cursed is the man who depart, or whose cursed be the man that trusteth in man, in his own self, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. But in verse 6, we see the consequences of that departure. First of all, in verse 6, it says, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert." The word heath can be rendered shrub. I don't know if you've been to a desert before. I haven't been to a desert. I've seen deserts on TV, but I've never been to the desert. But if you're in the desert and you notice these shrubs, these plants growing, and you notice that they look so barren. They look like they look very lonely there because there's no vegetation growing in the desert, usually. Not a whole lot of vegetation. But we see here that the person who departs from God, who makes his flesh his own strength, is going to be like that dried up shrub in the desert. It'd be like a shrub without leaves or a shrub without fruit. And there was a man in the Old Testament who went through something similar in Psalm 32. Keep your place here in Jeremiah and turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 3. And this is David writing. David said in Psalm 32, 3, he says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Selah. Well, we're right in the middle of that right now, aren't we? We're right in the middle of the summer. And David here in Psalm 32, which was written after his sin with Bathsheba, and during that time when he had this unconfessed sin in his life, in David's life, he wrote Psalm 32, and he says in verse 4, he says, "Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." It's as if David's body was drying up because of that unconfessed sin in his life. And, you know, David had no spiritual vitality. He had no joy. There was no rejoicing with David. There was no looking to a bright future. He was saying that the hand of God was heavy upon me. And my body was literally drying up because of that unconfessed sin in his life. And we see that David went through that time in his life, a period of almost a year, 10 to 12 months, where he had this unconfessed sin in his life. And when David was experiencing this time, this time of a spiritual drought in his life, that there was a certain spiritual dryness in his life. And I don't know if you've been there before, but David had. And David had to deal with that sin, that disobedience in his life. David finally came to his senses. He confessed and repented of that wickedness he had committed with Bathsheba. He was restored to the Lord. But here in Psalm 32, we see the fact that David, in his days of spiritual rebellion, had the heavy hand of God was upon him, and his moisture was turned into the drought of summer. So we see that, and if we go back to chapter 17 of Jeremiah, so we see in verse 6 that the man who is cursed, who departs from the Lord, will be like that shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. When prosperity comes, they will not notice. It's kind of like, we go along in our Christian life and God is blessing us and we just don't pay attention to those blessings. And, we've never had it so good, you know. It reminds one of the children of Israel wandering around in the desert, you recall, and they started to complain to Moses. "Moses, we have to eat this manna day in, day out. We have manna for breakfast, for lunch, for supper. It's manna, manna, manna. We're getting sick and tired of eating this stuff. We want some meat. We want something different." We're not satisfied. What they're really saying, we're not satisfied with God's provision. We want something else. We want something better, as if God was going to give them something better. And so we see that the children of Israel rebelled against God, rebelled against Moses. The Lord sent them meat, didn't he? I think every quail in the Middle East landed on top of the Israelites. And they were hit deep in those birds. And they had meat to eat. The Lord gave them what they wanted. But we see that the children of Israel were rebelling. They were rebelling against God. They didn't want God's provision. They got tired, sick and tired of eating manna in the desert. And yet here was God. He was their God, taking so much care of them, providing food for them, water for them, during this 40-year trek journey in the desert. And the children of Israel didn't appreciate it at all. Does that sound like somebody we know? And, you know, sometimes I think we get into that situation, you know. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm in there. But then we have to realize that, God has blessed us supremely. The man who is cursed, the man or the person whose heart departs from God, who makes his own flesh his strength instead of depending upon the Lord and not trusting the Lord, That's the person who's going to be joyless in their Christian life. And we see here in that Jeremiah is telling us that in this. It also says in verse 6, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. If you go to the wilderness or desert, and as I understand it, some deserts, I think it's in California, the Bonneville Salt Flats, which is covered with salt. Not a thing grows in that place, folks. Temperatures get over 100 degrees every single day during the summer. And there's nothing there. I mean, there's no vegetation. I don't know about animals and insects and all that kind of stuff, but nothing grows in a salt land. It's dry, it's desolate. It has nothing of any value there. And the man who is cursed, the man who is not trusting God, the person who is departing, whose heart has departed from the Lord, will be like that salt land. They will be dry, they will be desolate, they will have a life of no joy, no pleasure, and no hope. That's the person who is not trusting God and whose heart has departed from the Lord. If you were to go back and ask King Zedekiah that, when he was in Babylon, blinded, in chains, well, King, what do you think about the Lord now? The scriptures don't say whether Zedekiah repented or not. He may have, I don't know. But we see from that example that there are consequences when our hearts depart from God. There are consequences when we do not trust the Lord. And in the Old Testament, you know, salt, going back to this, the salt that Jeremiah is talking about. In the New Testament, salt is spoken of as a positive thing, as the Christian's role in the world is salt and light. You know, we're supposed to be preservatives. Salt is used in the New Testament in a good way, a positive way. But in the Old Testament, salt symbolizes God's judgment and God's desolation upon a land. And like I said, if a desert or wilderness area has salt in it, nothing is going to grow there. Nothing. It's desolate. It's dry. It's parched. People who turn their backs on the Lord will have to deal with that desolation. They will have to deal with their lack of hope. They will have to deal of feeling far from God. A character comes to mind when we talk about that, and that is King Solomon. You know, at the beginning of his reign, King Solomon was an incredible man. He was a man who was blessed by God. He was a man who God himself appeared to twice when he was king. He was a man who had so much blessing from God, had so much wealth, that he didn't have any place to put it. He was a man who God gave so much wisdom that his fame extended all over the known world at that time, that people were literally traveling to Israel to see this man, King Solomon, to see what he was really like. What an incredible man he was. But his heart departed from the Lord. At the end of his life, he had married all these women. These women, the Gentile women, had turned his heart away from God. Solomon could probably, if he looked at his life at the very end of his life, Solomon was one of the most miserable, unhappy human beings you could probably think of. He was a man who was tremendously blessed by God, yet his heart departed from God. And he had to suffer the consequences of that departure. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth for our hearts to depart from God, to refuse to trust in Him in our Christian experience, in our Christian life. Because if we do that, we're going to pay the consequences for it. And I believe this is a warning from Jeremiah right here in chapter 17, and that we should heed. Now, that sounds like a pretty negative type of comment so far in the first two verses, verses 5 and 6. We've got the cursed man. But however, in verses 7 and 8, we got the blessed man, the blessed person in verse 7. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. There are a number of passages, especially in Psalms, and we're going to take a look at those. So keep your finger in Jeremiah 17. Let's turn to Psalm 34. And we'll be going through several of these, so we will patiently go through these. Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Notice what it says here. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Look at Psalm 84. Turn over to Psalm 84. Verse 12, the last verse in Psalm 84. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Let's look at Psalm 146. This will be the last of the Psalms. Psalm 146, verse 5. 146, 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. In other words, if we are trusting the Lord, if our hope is in God, we are going to be happy. We are going to be blessed. We are going to be rejoicing. And we see that in Psalm 146:5, that happy is the man or the person who has the God of Jacob. For his help, whose hope is in the Lord God, Lord his God. So we see, if we turn back to Jeremiah 17, we see that in verse 6 or verse 7, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. This is just the opposite from verse 5 when it says, cursed is the man who does not trust in the Lord and makes himself his own strength and whose heart departeth from God. That man, that person is going to be cursed. But we see in verse 7 that we're going to be blessed if we trust in the Lord, and our hope is in the Lord, in verse 7. And we see in verse 8 the outcome of trusting in the Lord. Verse 8 says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. And that has a very familiar ring to it. I read that and I said, you know, I've read that someplace before. Keep your place there. Turn back to, well, going back to the Psalms again. Okay. Let's look at Psalm 1. Turn back to Psalm 1. And verse 3. Psalm 1, verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And this is the psalm that says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. This is the godly man. This is the godly woman. This is the godly person here that we're talking about. And verse 3 says that they will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's interesting there in Psalm 1, it expresses the same thought as Jeremiah 17:8. That if we are trusting in God, if our hope in our daily Christian experience is in God, then our spiritual roots are going to go deep into the Lord. In Psalm 92, there's a similar thought. Turn to Psalm 92. Verse 12, Psalm 92:12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. In this particular case, the righteous, those are believers, shall flourish like the palm tree, and they will be planted in the house of the Lord, and they will flourish in the courts. Flourish, that is, not flourish, flourish, in the courts of our God. So we see that there are some things that are going to happen to us when we're trusting in God, when our hope is in the Lord. Good things are going to happen. And we see that in Jeremiah 17, verse 8, again, that he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. In other words, that if we're trusting God, if our hope is in God, then our spiritual roots are going to be deep into the Lord. And isn't that what we want as Christians? Isn't that what we need as believers? Isn't that what we need to have in our life as believers, that deep spiritual roots into God? Because the Lord is, brother, sister in Christ, that's what the Lord wants for us, and he's going to help us to achieve that. He's not going to leave us on our own. If we want that deep spiritual experience with God, if that's what we desire and that's what we crave in our hearts, God is going to let us have that. He is going to help us achieve that. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And we see there in verse 8, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. When we're trusting the Lord, we're going to bear fruit in our lives for God. People will see that. People will notice that. People will understand that man or that woman, that Christian person, that man or Christian man or woman, has deep spiritual roots into God, and they are bearing fruit for the Lord. And we see that when the heat comes, when we experience the trials, the burdens of life, as they surely will come. Some of those trials are severe. Some of those trials involve suffering. Some of those trials hurt. But if our roots are in the Lord, if we have those deep spiritual roots in God, we are trusting God. Our hope is in God. We'll be like that blessed man. We'll be like that blessed man. We'll experience God's presence in a way we've never experienced it before. God will open our eyes, and he will give us new insights into what it is to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're trusting God, even during the severe times of testing, even through those really, really hard, tough suffering and trials that we have to bear, and if our hope and our eyes are on God, on the Lord, he will not only bring us through those things, he will bless us. He will bless you. That's exactly what God will do. We can talk to believers who suffered. we can talk to believers who've been through severe trials, whose hope and trust was in the Lord. And they will tell you that they were in the very center of God's will, that they were in the center of God's hands. The Lord had His hand on every single circumstance in that trial. And they will tell you that they've learned from that experience. They've drawn closer to the Lord. They've experienced God's holy presence in a way they haven't never experienced before. But see, that's what happens when we're hoping in the Lord. That's what happens when we're trusting God. That's what happens when we make the Lord a vital part of our life and just don't push Him off to the side. And I have a bad habit of doing that. I'm just as bad as anybody else about pushing the Lord out and get busy with other things and, forget about all that stuff. And, we all get into that situation sometimes. But we always have to keep in mind that God is in every single circumstance of our life. There is nothing that escapes His attention. Nothing. And people, the believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who are going through these trials, and severe trials, that the Lord is in there with them. He is strengthening them. He is helping them. He is helping us, strengthening us, encouraging us in ways we have never thought before. That's what God can do. That's the kind of God we have, brother, sister in Christ. I encourage you to heed those words, to trust in the Lord, to hope in Him. And if we do that, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. What a wonderful verse. I hope you memorize that verse. I hope I memorize it too. Because we all need to memorize that verse and remember it and during those times of trial and severe trials and burdens that we will go through. Well, our time is up. Let's bow our heads. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God. How wonderful it is, Lord, tonight our hearts have been challenged and our hearts have been encouraged, Heavenly Father, by You. We thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for challenging us because we know that You love us and You want the best for us. We could just commit ourselves into Your loving care, Father, and we think of all those ones, those dear believers in our Savior, who are undergoing severe trials, even at this very moment, Lord, that You will bless them. That their faith and their trust and their hope will be in You, and that You might bless them. We pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming.